to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome home to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Now, you know I have hosted hundreds and hundreds of interviews, but this one here is gripping, and I tell you, it brings tears to my eyes. I am so fortunate to have Dr. Sherry McDonald. She specializes in the forensics of the psyche. As a psychiatrist for the past 34 years, Dr. McDonald has worked with patients, victims, families, witnesses, and first responders to mass shootings such as the Las Vegas concert and the College Night Massacre in Hollywood. She talks to us today about what she shares with them, how she holds space with them, and helps them to cope and recover. Now, let me give you a definition of what trauma is, Brains. Trauma is defined as an emotional response to a terrible event, like an accident, rape, natural disaster. Immediately after the event, shock and denial are typical. Longer-term reactions include unpredictable emotional flashbacks, strains on relationships, even physical symptoms like headaches and nausea. And let's talk about PTSD. I cannot wait to introduce her to you, Brains, Dr. Sherry McDonald. Hello, and welcome to The Edge.
Hi, April. I'm so glad to be here with you and the Brains. This is such a passion for mine for me to be able to talk about.
Well, we have a laundry list of things to cover. I want to talk a little bit about your experience. Now, you've been doing this for 34 years. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing in the field of psychology before we deep dive into some of the other work you do.
Okay, great. I've been practicing as a psychotherapist for over 34 years, as you stated, as well as my practice of hypnotherapy and energy healing to really embrace the whole person. Through the years, I've done private practice, critical incident debriefings. I've victims of crime have been all my specialties in helping people deal in the most dire situations and the initial reactions, as well as the follow through for them, their families, and their support system thereafter, as well as reaching out to the community to help the community heal as a whole, because it's one shift in one of us, it's just all of us. And law of society doesn't move with the flow, and as we flow through these events together, we have the possibility and for healing, and I've seen miracle after miracle of that happening.
Well, it is miracle after miracle, because I can't even imagine the heaviness in a room when you arrive to talk to these families, to talk to these victims about what they have just experienced. Can you tell me, what do you say to them when you arrive?
When I arrive, my goal is to be where they're at. So my job is not what I say. My job is to be with them and let them know that they are not alone, and that there is breath still to breathe, and that there is life still to live, and that they have a right to be right where they're at and walk through their brokenness. Because we walk through brokenness to get whole again. And so my job is to let them make sure that they actually get to walk through that period of time and resolve eventually the grief of the loss that they're experiencing, the loss of innocence, from the tragedy, the loss of any type of naivety, and loss of the life that once was, as they evolve, hopefully, in the end, a wiser and stronger person.
Well, that's a hell of a walk, okay? That's like walking through hell with gasoline draws on, okay? It is traumatic. I can't even imagine what that is like, the conversation is like, and the work that you do. And then there's so many people that survive are going to have a different type of trauma, because now they feel like they have survivor's guilt, like, why wasn't it me? Why wasn't I killed? Why wasn't I shot or hurt? What do you say to those people?
I have learned from people who have been in that situation what to say. They have taught me. And the reality is, yeah, why? Why did they live and not the person next to them that may have not survived the fatal result of whatever the incident is at that time? What I have learned from them is because there's a purpose. There is that there is a reason for them to breathe. And if the only reason is to live a full life in the name of the person next to them, sometimes that is the reason they choose to live. Other times they see the divinity in divine hand in the process, and they'll tell me, you know, how it has changed them and brought to light their new gifts, their new track, a new path they're going to walk on. And sometimes it's about their loved ones. They'll tell me that they see that they need to stay alive and go through this process simultaneously, both for the growth of their loved ones and their community. So it's a variety of reasons, but it is searching for that reason. It's natural to have that survivor's remorse. That is part of the grieving process.
Well, you know, I have been trampled in a crowd not once, not twice, but three times, and it is awful sauce. The first time was when I was very young in the Watts riots in Los Angeles. The second time I was with my parents and we were in a park and someone just yelled out gun and everybody started running. There was no gun, there was no firecrackers, there was no sound of that, but just the sheer words that there was a gun, people started running. I ran into a tree, lost a couple teeth. And then thirdly, I was at a concert at a Parliament Funkadelic. Now, a little bit of that might have been my own undoing because I was getting my party on. But still, it is horrific. So to this day, I'm not really a fan of big crowds. And when I am in a situation where there's a large crowd, I am always sticking to the outer perimeter. If I don't have VIP right up front, you better believe I've got the loges on the side. I know where the exits are. I'm paying attention to the people that are a little bit extra inebriated. I'm looking for people that are just, you know, overdressed in a big coat in this summertime. I'm looking for all of that. Am I paranoid or am I being cautious?
I think you're being wise. You know, part of every experience we have, you know, the challenge is learning from that experience, growing from that experience, and taking those lessons and applying them to our life. The truth is, you know, crowds can become unsafe. Some crowds are not, and some they can become unsafe. You've had three experiences, three strikes you're out, three experiences that taught you the value of standing out in the periphery, or paying attention, being awake. You know, and that is one of the first things I do teach people, and especially as I evolved in dealing with groups of people and teaching them as a support system to one another, wake up, be awake, be conscious. And there was I've always remembered a commercial on the news when the anthrax came about, and there was a fireman captain. And he taught a very important lesson. He had a gas mask, and there was hysteria of everyone not having a gas mask, just like being in the middle of a crowd. And they asked, what do you tell people to do? Because anthrax could pop up anywhere. And he said, you see me, I have a gas mask. I'm on the job. I have a family at home, a wife and kids. They do not have gas masks. If you walk or standing in line, walking into a building, and your intuition tells you to turn around, turn around. Your intuition is your best friend to war against anthrax. You just described to me, April, what you do when you go around crowds. You use your intuition, your wisdom, and your intuition. Those are your BFFs. Hold on to them, girl. They will take you where you need to be and keep you safe.
And you know, again, I tell my daughter. I said, you know, don't be over relax in any situation. It doesn't necessarily have to be a mass shooter. It could be an earthquake. We've been having quite a few of them here in California. It could be some sort of natural disaster. You have to pay attention, and you have to learn how to survive and to have a tactic to rebound in case something happens. What you have done is not only dedicated your life to this, But you said this is your calling and your passion, and you've written two books. Tell us a little bit about your books.
My first book is, thank you, my first book is Whisperings from Within, Creating and Achieving Your Ideal Self. This book is, it tells my life, a lot of my life story, as well as many stories from my clients in the past who have taught me how to evolve from tragedies, as well as life-altering events and how they form us into becoming all that we want to become and striving towards the ideal self. And there's many inspirational pieces in there that hopefully inspire to want to rise to your highest self. My second book was written, Heal Your Trauma, Heal Your Marriage, 7 Steps to Root, Rebound, and Rise. And this book came out of the recent incidences that I've dealt with as the world is changing. And we need to pay attention not only to tragedies, but if we see someone on the corner across the street and they are not smiling, maybe smile at them. You could be saving their life because they may be going off and doing some self-harm. And it can change a life. It can change a person's life because loneliness is another tragedy we have in this world. And so in this trauma, healing our trauma, we have a marriage to everybody. We have a marriage to take care of one another in a community and rise as a community so that we can heal on a more global level and have each other's back and know that we do and really take hold of our powers. And one of our greatest powers is our power of love. And,
exactly.
And I think love can heal all. Yes. And if we use it as a power, we understand it power.
Right, and you're working with women right now to really help them thrive when it comes to marriage. Now, you have a very long, successful marriage, and so do I. What do you think of some of your secrets to success?
The truth is everything I just said. As we stay awake and we are self-accountable, we wake up. We seek to rejuvenate our relationships with being aware of how we're connecting with them. And we realize our own autonomy and grow that simultaneously so that we can really pay attention to our power of love, then we are seeking to edify one another and help pull each other up and revive the voice of choice so that we can restore anything that along the way as we have two steps forward, one step back. That may happen sometimes in life in every journey, including our relationships, but we can resurrect and be honeymooners again as we follow and stay conscious of our own steps. And so this is what the working together globally in even in an intimate relationship of matrimony does. It's applied in both realms.
Well, you know, a lot of times people say, just get over it. I don't get over it. I get with it. And we have to get into it because it is a part of the situation. It's real time. You know, I love this quote that today is your tomorrow and tomorrow will become your yesterday. So you have to stay in the present. You have to be vigilant. You have to be paying attention. You got to love on people. Speaking of loving on people, to relax the conversation, I hear that you are a mother of 4 and a grandmother of 7.5.
I am. Very fortunate. Three young men and a beautiful daughter, and they bring me all these little grandbabies, and it is joyful to see them, and they all and see them in their marriages in life, and how they really are loving, charitable people. And so I'm very fortunate.
So how did you get all of this trauma off of you? You know, this is it's very intense. You're taking on the emotion, the energy, and then you're helping them navigate and facilitate through this trauma. How do you renew yourself and don't just let it gobble you whole? Because this is heavy.
This is heavy stuff. And you know, to be honest, I have come to realize that this is heavy stuff. I think I have just been gifted. The words I put to it is, they walk in my life with and share their story. I make sure I honor that it's their story, and I don't step into the story and absorb their story. One is again, one person can change the dynamics, and it's not fair for me to rob them of their story and to rob them of the power to create the changes they need in their story. So I've always had that philosophy, but also I've lived that. I just don't take on their story. I do have a personal care too. I'm very conscientious. I feel like I have to live what I preach, and I eat healthy. I exercise. I take time out for myself. I go on dates with my husband. I go visit my kids, and I cuddle my grandkids. And I have my hobbies. I love, you know, I teach yoga and I do yoga. You know, so these all, I meditate, I pray, and so I write in my journal. I do all these things, and I seek out new ways to for self care all the time to make sure that I am, you know, as whole as I could possibly be. I owe that to the people I work with.
You do, and I'm so glad. So tell my brains about what you're currently doing now. You're doing some coaching, maybe some group sessions, or you have some products online. Please share that with them.
Thank you. Yes, I am. The reason part of this book is I'm launching into a coaching program, mostly to so I can reach a greater number of people. And this, I'd be honest, the pride of my clients. I've had, you know, they are so good to me, but they tell me, Sherry, you got to get out there, and more people need to hear this at once. And I usually am a person that has to dig my heel in the sand, and God pushes me from the back. And this is where this has come from. And the book seemed, I feel like it's inspired, and it's, I've already started the groups, and I've see the transformation in front of me of these women to evolve and now the community to evolve from by practicing these steps. And so my book, Heal Your Trauma, Heal Your Marriage, it can be obtained for free. I want it in people's hands. And all you need to do is you can PM me on Facebook, or you can write me at drcheri at a place to turn, eaplace2turn.com. That's Dr. Sherry at a place to turn.com. And I'll be glad to send it immediately so that you guys can and spread the word, because I would love for people to start applying this. And then if you just want to ask questions, you can also call me and say, yeah, Sherry, call me and explain this book to me. I'll be glad to walk you through it and help in any way, because this is a passion. I love people, and I now that I've witnessed people starting to miraculously change in front of my eyes and evolve from their pseudo self to the higher self, which I call the ideal self, I feel an urgency to get it out there for people to do so.
Well, you know, like I said, I think it's a conspiracy theory. I say it's chemtrails. They are spraying some ugly sauce in the air or sprinkling in the water, because this is just, it's an abomination, and it's an annihilation of the human race here in the United States. I just don't understand that. I went out, and I went to the gun show. You know, I'm a responsible gun owner, and I go out, and I take a look at them, but they look just like the toy guns. I can't tell. They're not made like, you know, the rifles were made in 1950, 1960. They look so space-age. So if you're at a big convention and everyone's dressed up in costumes or whatever, you can't tell the fact from the fiction. So I encourage you, I beseech you, I beg of you, brains, pay attention to your surroundings. If you hear a conversation, if there's bags that look suspicious, if there are people that you feel, you know, don't be profiling nobody. Now, you know, people got an opportunity to look as strange as they want to, but you get it. As Dr. McDonald says, when your internal gauge and your intuition tells you that something is wrong, you best believe it. Am I right, Dr. McDonald?
100%. 100%.
And
once we learn to retrust ourselves again, you know, and we can and key in that intuition, we can be powerful agents for safety.
Well, we're going to be powerful agents
us.
Of love, and we are going to be really taking care of ourselves and taking care, because we are our brother's keeper. And I thank you so much for dedicating your life, 34 years, to the betterment of mankind and trying to help them get through these traumatic experiences, because it is a heavy burden and it is a heavy load. And that's what we do here on The Edge. We carry it for you. We got a crane because it's so heavy. We want you to know. We want you to be the best, the brightest. We want you to be aware. We want you to live in light and love. Thank you so much, Dr. McDonald, for being here on The Edge. Is there anything you'd like to share with my brains before we conclude?
I just encourage everyone to show up. Use your brain, be your brain, and spread the word of showing up and keying into your own personal power of love and following your guide of your intuition. Love you all, and thank you.
All
right,
brain.
Remember, pick my book up. It's free.
Ha-ha, for sure. All right, I have all the links and all the information on the bottom of my page on Facebook. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations. I got them for you. Everything from soup to nuts, art, entertainment, love, science, research, healing, recovery. You know, we even got a comedian coming on and a magician. Right, it's a magic trick to turn your life into the perfect thing. Thank you so much again for being on the edge. Come back as you release new learnings and new books. Okay, Dr. McDonald?
Thank you so much.
Good night, brains.
Good night, all of you.